Yeah, I had an investor, and this was a long time ago. I didn't believe in social media, actually not too long ago. I just was kind of just wanted to be not at all in the public eye. And I had a potential investor, and he said, I can't find you anywhere on the internet. I'm like, why do you care? He said, well, the internet tells me a lot about who you are, and I can't find you anywhere. I see you've got a LinkedIn page, but you got nothing on it. And I found that you got a Facebook page, but you've got no Facebook posts. And I just thought, wow, somebody's looking on the internet for what I do and who I am, and not just my track record. I'm going, well, I got this great track record. He's like, well, yeah, I can see that, but I want to know more about you.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy to understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me as always on Wednesdays is John Stiles with Bridge Realty. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful today, Todd. How are you?
I am awesome. I am pumped and ready. I am going to Montana today with three of my buddies, and we are going to be doing some skiing in the mountains at Big Sky. So I am pumped. They've got 11 feet of snow out there.
Really?
Wow. 11 flipping feet of snow up at the peak. So I'm excited. I think even down at like the base, there's like 7 feet or something like that. It's just great. It's so awesome. I'm so excited. So hopefully next week when I talk to you, John, I have no broken bones.
Yeah.
I'll probably have a broken ego because I always think I'm better than I really am. But, that's all right.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a blast.
Yeah. It's fun. This is going to be our fourth year going. And so the very first year I went, there was almost no snow. It was crazy. We were skiing over rocks. But I had never skied in the mountains before. I skied a little around here, and I was a kind of a cross country skier and a hockey player growing up. So I understood like the edges and stuff. So it didn't take me too long to get it. But I didn't downhill ski a lot. I go out to these mountains and I'm just holy crap, intimidated. Are you a skier, John?
Actually, I did do skiing a little bit. I transitioned into snowboarding. I've never was really good, but I enjoy just getting down the hill.
Have you been in the out in the mountains?
A little bit. I went to Big Sky as a kid.
You did? Okay.
Yep. And I've been out in Colorado a little bit.
Oh, it's just so fun. It's just the beauty of it too out there. Right. There's nothing better to me than just being up. at the peak and just looking over from Big Sky. You can see Yellowstone. You can see the Teton. You can see just forever. It's just so cool. It just the magnificence of it is just amazing. Adding in that fresh air all day, you know, for we'll be there for four days and just take it all in. So I can't wait for it. It's a blast. But the first time I was out there, man, those mountains are intimidating. And I tried a black diamond from the peak the first time I'd been out. It was something. So it's kind of fun to see like the difference now. You know, I'm not skilled by any means. You know, everybody else is way better than me, but it's just so fun to be able to actually go down them now instead of sliding my butt most of the time. So, yeah,
that sounds good.
Well, so let's get into our topic for today. We're continuing the apartment investing series, and I wanted to hit on a topic we kind of already have hit on a couple times, but I want to go more in depth on it. And what we're going to be talking about is finding partners. And so we talked a little bit about the beginning, and then we talked a little bit about that during syndication. But when I'm talking about partners today, we're going to be talking about money partners, so syndication, limited partners. And we're also going to be talking about just partners, like you and me partnering on a deal and you doing some of the tasks and me doing some other tasks. And maybe both of us bring money to the deal or we raise money, but either way, partners. And how do you find partners? And why do you even want partners? So before I start blabbing, John, and any thoughts on partners and maybe why you'd want them or you know, what you want to add?
Yeah, I think this is definitely a great topic to be going deep into. You know, partnerships can cause a lot of trouble when they're not planned out ahead of time. A lot of people avoid partnerships because, you know, they want to do their own thing. They've got their own way of doing things and don't want somebody else slowing them down, maybe, or don't want to have another boss or have somebody to be held accountable to. So those are maybe some reasons why we limit ourselves from partnerships. But that's what it is. It's kind of limiting yourself. Because again, we've said it before, when you're getting into apartment buildings, oftentimes, especially at the beginning, you're not capable of doing it yourself. You know, whether that's having the right knowledge, the right experience, and a big one is the right amount of money. So partnerships are definitely a way to use what strengths you do have and then leverage other people's strengths so that you can together do something bigger.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of depends, right, what your goals are. If your goal is to just buy a few properties, maybe buy an apartment or two, do you need partners? Maybe you don't need a partnership as far as sharing in the profits and stuff like that, but you still need to build your team, as we've talked about before. You need to make sure you have the right people in place. Otherwise, you're just going to make a lot of mistakes and lose a lot of potential money. I would rather pay other people and make sure it's being done right for my team. But you may not need partners if you want to go at it really slow. If you want to, if you're not looking to build a really large business. And I know some people that, you know, I met a gentleman, it was earlier this winter. He owns 1,300 units and it's just him. But with this, at the same, you know, token, he's like 70 years old. You know, so it took him a while to get there. He didn't get there overnight. But you know, he's doing well. He's 70 years old. He's got 1,300 units. My guess is he's making a couple bucks. So can you do it alone? Yeah, but it depends. So it depends on where you want to be and how you want to scale and how quickly you want to go. So with that said, let's kind of dig in more. So for me, The value of partners is being able to expand quicker, right? To being able to do it better and to be able to be more efficient and effective, right? Because my goal is to own a lot more than 1,300 units and to positively affect a lot more people than what that would do. So partners for me is a very important part of my business.
Yeah, that's definitely good. Going back to the goals and goal setting, you know, we talked about that in previous podcasts, but if you lose sight of your goal, then you don't know what, or if you don't have a goal, you don't know what the steps are to get to that, you know?
Yeah.
But if you have a very defined goal of how many units, for example, that you want to acquire and by when, then you can really assess, can you do that by yourself within that time frame, or do you need partners?
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, let's dig in, because I want to talk about finding partners and how do you actually, you know, find people that you can work with, people that you can either partner with, or people that can be your money partners, or both, right? So one of the biggest things, and we've already kind of talked about this, but it's just actually getting out there. And you're never going to find a partner if you're sitting in your office looking on the computer, looking at properties all day. Now, with that said, you can find partners on the computer. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But you have to try to find partners by getting yourself out there. So in my opinion, computers are great, but in my opinion, the best way to find partners are actually going out to events. You can go out to conferences. There's real estate conferences, business conferences. There's networking events. There's always your, you know, real estate meetup groups and all that kind of stuff. I know in the Twin Cities, I don't even know how many there are. It seems like every month I find out about three more groups. I bet you could get to a real estate meetup two or three times a week in the Twin Cities. Or maybe even more than that. I mean, there is a lot of them. So going to certain events and finding out which ones are the right ones for you to be at. There's you know, those, the guru seminars or really any kind of real estate seminar. Those are also decent. If you're going to go learn, that's great. Go learn, but also make sure you meet people. And then the other thing that you can find a lot of partners are like real estate auctions. You know, just anything that's going to get you in front of people, real estate people, or if you're in a different business in that. So you've got to get to those events. And then don't be the, you know, that kid in the corner at the high school dance that sits there and just watches all the cute girls, you know, dance in the middle, go over there and, you know, wiggle your way in and start dancing with the ladies, because that's the only way you're going to start meeting people is if you get in front of them and you start talking with them. And if you're an introvert, I get it, because I feel like sometimes I'm kind of one, but then just pick out a person and talk to a person, or wiggle yourself into just a group and just kind of listen. And maybe when something comes up that you are knowledgeable or you can talk about, then put your two cents in. But you just got to get in there and you got to start talking. You've got to make that impact.
Yeah. And then, you know, related to that, having a personality or having a persona that is attractive as far as being positive, you know, so sometimes I'll go to an event, I'll tell myself, I'm having a great day. I'm doing good. I'm successful, or, you know, something like that. So that when somebody asks me, how you doing? It's not like, oh man, I just had a lousy day. I just, you know, work is work. It's like, actually be delightful to talk to, so yeah, that you can, you know, start those relationships, those conversations off well. So
I think that's really important. People are attracted to negative people, but that doesn't do you any good, right? Everybody complains, and then the complaining continues to complain and complain and complain, but eventually that complaining wears on everybody, and they see you coming and they want to run. They don't want to go towards you. But when you're positive, when you're open, when you're happy, you're that life of the party type of person. So when they see you, they're going, I want to talk to John, because they know John's not just going to go, Oh, I've been better. You know, the Eeyore type of guy. Everybody's got a couple Eeyores in their life. Yeah. And you kind of just go like this when you see them, because you're just hoping they don't talk to you, you know? So don't be that guy, be the positive guy. 100% agreement with you.
Yeah. So in addition to being positive, you know, really asking questions about how they are doing or what they are working on.
Yeah.
And then take note of it, like repeat it back when they say it, so that not only do they feel like you're listening, but then also it will register more in your own mind for recollection later. So that, you know, if they're, say, putting together an apartment syndication, or maybe they're looking for a place to put their own money, you know, later on when you need that connection, you have a better chance of remembering it if you're actively listening to what they're saying.
So actively listening to what they're saying, you'll have a better chance of remembering?
Exactly.
Perfect. Did you see how I did that?
Yep.
There you go. But it engages you, right?
Yep.
I mean, so yeah, 100%. And be engaging, be, you know, try to add value to conversations. But then more than just trying to add value, make sure that you're communicating with them to where they're opening up to you. Not vice versa. You don't want to be the one doing all the talking. You want to be doing a lot of the listening, but you also have to have engaging questions. You can't just ask the more open-ended question you ask a lot of times, the less engaging answer you get. But if you do open up with, hey, how are you doing? And John, I'm doing good. Oh yeah. What's good in your life right now? Instead of just, oh, okay, great. Now where do we go?
Yep.
So, you know, what's good in your life? What are you interested in? What are you doing right now? Oh, you know, I'm doing real estate. You know, it's going really well. Oh, what are you doing in real estate? Well, I'm flipping houses. Oh, cool. Flipping houses. You know, how is that going? How many projects you have going on right now, and how many have you done? So continue those questions to engage them. And now you're going to start to get a real conversation out of somebody, instead of just hoping that they'll start asking you questions about what you do. And then, cause you can talk about yourself. So you want to talk about them, engage them, and those conversations will start to flow. So, I mean, these networking events they're great, right? You're going to find like-minded people. So even if you don't find your potential partners or, you know, money lenders or whatever, you're just going to find like-minded people. So like recently I was at a conference, and at that conference, when I go to a conference, I don't go to the conference for the conference. I don't go to a conference because of the content that's going to be at the conference. Now, there were some great speakers. I listened to a few of them, but I didn't listen to very many of them, because when I go there, I'm going there to build relationships. I'm going there to meet like-minded people. And that's what I do. I sit or stand in the back and I listen. And if it's a conversation or a topic maybe I'm not as interested in, or I see somebody I really want to talk to, I'm going to start talking to them. We'll go outside, you know, in the lobby or wherever, and we'll talk about whatever we, you know, comes to mind. But it's all about networking. So at that conference, it was a, I don't know, 2 or 3 day conference. I can't remember. 2 day conference. it was all day and they had tons of topics, and yet I only listened to a few of them. The rest of it, I was talking to people and I was having in-depth, detailed conversation. That's another thing I think a lot of people do, is they just like, they've got this business card thing and they've got, a stack of like 100 business cards and they're just flipping them out to people like they're playing cards and they're trying to get them out as fast as they can. It's just, Hey, yeah, I'm Todd Dexter. You're here, blah, blah, blah. And they're throwing these business cards out. And where do those business cards go? They go right in the trash. Cause what I got this, Todd Dexter, I don't remember who that was. Right. Throw them away. But if I had a real conversation with that person, and a real conversation in just like a minute, I'm talking like a, 5, 10, or even longer minute conversation. If I had a real 10-minute conversation or a half an hour conversation with somebody, they're going to look at that business card when they're done with the conference and go, oh, Todd Dexter, yeah, I remember him. He's a great guy. I talked to him. And likely I already emailed that guy if I had a good conversation with him. And I said, hey, John Stiles, great to meet you at that conference. It was really fun talking to you about Bridge Realty and the great things you're doing over there. So happy that you're, having success listing apartment complexes. And, I'd love to, bounce some ideas off you in the future. Great. Now you and I had this engaging conversation. I then took that to the next level and reached out to you again. I maybe said, hey, I'm going to be at the next real estate meetup next month. Let's go grab a bite to eat before the meeting. How does that sound? I'd love to introduce you to, Jim, whatever. And then we can continue that conversation. So the more engaging you can be, the better. I got derailed. I was talking about this conference. When I was there, I formed a mastermind. I wasn't the main former of the mastermind, but I'm now part of a mastermind group of some apartment investors that I met out there. They invest in different parts of the country. So we've got a 4-person mastermind group that was just started that I'm a part of. I was invited to be on several podcasts and found other people to be on my podcast. And then I've got met some potential investors out there too. So potential investors and potential partners. So just one networking event and a lot came out of it. And that's the goal when you go to these events.
Yeah, I love your comments about having a real conversation with somebody and giving your business card as a way to stay in touch rather than assuming that the business card alone will intrigue the person to contact you. The business card is just a tool to enhance the relationship that's already been begun.
Exactly. Nobody cares about you until they meet you and until they talk to you and until they have a real conversation. They don't care about you. They don't know who you are. So why do they want your business card? I don't want just some random person's business card I've never talked to before, never met. You give me your business card and you and I have never talked or met and had any type of conversation. It just goes in the pile. I don't know who you are. I'm busy and, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I don't know who you are. I don't need your business card, So, and that's what I'm assuming everybody's thinking of me too. If I just hand out a business card, hey, great to meet you. Well, I didn't meet you. I don't know who you are.
The other thing people do is that they'll give you several business cards.
Yeah.
Assuming that you're going to refer and pass out their business card for you, for them.
Yeah. I never do that. Whether it's right or wrong, I never do that. I don't want to be that person that spews business cards out.
Yeah. So
if somebody knows me and they trust me and they want to refer me, they don't need my business card to do that.
That's right.
I can promise you that. They know me already.
Yeah.
They, I have a lot of introductions like through email where it's, hey, Todd, you got to meet this, you know, person, love to introduce you to. And it's just a CC email conversation that goes from there. If you've created a relationship and if they're going to refer you, they know who you are.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. So. Yeah. I've handed them back sometimes. I just need one.
Oh yeah. Thanks for a dozen. I just need one.
Yeah. You know, on the receiving end, when you do get those business cards, even if you have limited your conversations to a couple or a few, you still can end up getting a stack of business cards over time. So, you know, one thing with this, I really encourage people to have a system for when they get back to their office, their home, whatever, you know, what are you going to do with those so they don't stay in the stack? How are you going to maintain those relationships? How are you going to grow those relationships over time?
I love what Joey, I can't remember how to say his last name, Torkeldsen or something like that. Were you at that conference when he was talking about that? And he said the business, everybody gives him all these business cards. And he throws them in his pants pockets, but then the good ones, there's that little pocket on your pants and he puts them in there. Or you could do the same thing. If you've got a shirt pocket, you could put the good ones in one spot and the ones that you know, maybe just somebody just spewed their business card at you, you can throw that in the other pants pocket. So then when you get home, you go, these ones, trash. These ones, all right, I'm going to email these guys. I'm going to add them to my LinkedIn network, and we're going to, you know, form that relationship. So I liked that when he said that. See what that little pocket's for? You know what that's for? That's to put your business cards in there of the people you want. So, so let's move on. The other topic or the other thing I like is hosting events or being a speaker at an event. If you can get that, I think that's a fantastic way. Now, with both of these, you have to have credibility. You should have some sort of track record. You don't need to necessarily be an expert. You don't need to be the main speaker. You don't need to be even the one that's giving the information. You can be the one that's asking the questions. You know, you can be the host of a panel, or you could just be the host, period, and have guest speakers come in or whatever you're doing. But you should have some sort of, in my mind, and maybe you don't need to, but I think you should have some sort of track record. I think that helps with your credibility and just helps people know and trust you a little bit. And I'm not saying you have to, you know, have years and years of experience, but I think you should at least have done a few deals and be on your way. Going that way.
Yeah, definitely. You know, having an event, whether you're speaking or hosting or whatever, it's back to the idea of providing content that's valuable.
Yeah,
absolutely. And just like we're doing here on the podcast, hopefully people see this content as valuable. And by doing this, by continuously providing this, we should be kind of a destination podcast or whether it's the event or the hosting or whatever it is. That's where people get to know you, and it's a reputation that this is where I go for this content, and it adds to your credibility. It adds to the reputation.
So. Yep. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to host an event, just make sure you're educated, make sure you understand the content you're going to have presented or be presenting. To me, you don't want to be caught too far off guard. If all of a sudden you're bringing in a speaker, this is let's say a multifamily conference or multifamily even event, and you bring in a speaker that's talking about something in multifamily, and you've got no freaking clue what they're talking about, and then people start coming up to you and asking you questions, that's a bad position to be in. You should at least, you know, have a decent education to where you can answer some questions. At least that's my opinion. So, so let's move on. So we got volunteer organizations, of course, just being a part of those are not only good for you, emotionally and good for your heart and stuff, but also a good place to meet and network with people. And then the internet, right? So you've got social sites like Bigger Pockets, where there's just a ton of potential partners. You've also got Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. You've got podcasts. You've got blogs. You've got all kinds of ways to gain trust and to get yourself out there. And those aren't 100% necessarily going to get you partners, but it'll at least gain you trust. It may bring you some partners, like Bigger Pockets and some of those others can all bring you partners. But what they're going to do more than anything is get your name out there, get you to build your brand, and get you to gain trust with people in the market so they know your name. Meeting people in person or talking to them over the phone is going to probably be necessary to put you over the edge. But I mean, there's several reasons I'm doing this podcast, and I think I've mentioned it before. And one reason will be, it is to, you know, get business. It's to find investors for my properties. It's to find properties. It's to, you know, get my brand out there more. And among other things, I mean, I do it for a lot of reasons, but those are some of the reasons why I do it. So, just having that, but with social media, I'm not a social media expert, but you need to be very consistent with social media, and you need to be consistent in your message, and you need to be consistent in how often you put your message out there. So,
yeah, I definitely agree. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm an expert either, but I've done quite a bit with it. I look at LinkedIn as kind of my resume. Because each time I get a new client, it's, you know, I'm applying for the job to work for them.
Yeah.
And my LinkedIn profile should be supporting everything I've told them in person. They shouldn't be going on my, you know, if they decide to look me up on Facebook, it shouldn't be, you know, spewing a bunch of hate about whatever.
Right.
But it should be supporting, you know, who I am really, and what I've sold myself to be.
Yep. Yeah. I had a investor, and this was a long time ago. I didn't believe in social media. Actually not too long ago. I just wanted to be not at all in the public eye. And I had a potential investor, and he said, "Well, I can't find you anywhere on the internet." I'm like, "Why do you care?" He said, "Well, the internet tells me a lot about who you are, and I can't find you anywhere. I see you've got a LinkedIn page, but you got nothing on it. And I found that you got a Facebook page, but you've got no Facebook posts." And I just thought, wow, you know, somebody's looking on the internet for what I do and who I am, and not just my track record. I'm going, "Well, I got this great track record." He's, "Well, yeah, I can see that, but I want to know more about you." And so social media plays a big factor in that, and just being out there. And I've totally changed my paradigm. And it wasn't necessarily because of that, but I mean, that definitely helped. It just totally changed my paradigm of thinking about it that way. And since I've started, you know, on Bigger Pockets and on social media more, Facebook and LinkedIn, and I don't really do Twitter much or Instagram, but since I've started that, I've gotten way more people calling me, and it's just amazing the impact that it makes.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we have this mindset that we want to have privacy, we want to have private lives, but being in business, you know, I guess if you think back to the small town and the corner store, the way they got business is they were on the corner and everybody knew who they were, right? But now we're in a big world market. Yeah. And we don't have a town square where everybody knows each other. So we got to build rapport and become known on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, still the same concept. You still got to be known. You still got to be the corner store. But you just have to do it differently now.
Yep.
Right. You just can't put your brick and mortar on the corner. So, yeah, Gary Vaynerchuk, I've been actually reading his book, Crush It. He talks a lot about that. And so I would recommend that book definitely for anybody who's wanting to kind of do the social media and get their brand built and stuff like that. Definitely a positive book for that. So, one thing I wanted to mention as we're talking about all this is the people who you associate with, you become known as those types of people. So if you're associating with people who have a bad reputation, if you're associating with, as you mentioned earlier, if you're associating with a Debbie Downers, those complainers, you're going to be thought as of that type of person. So just be careful who you associate. I would say the most damaging thing you can do is to, you know, make a relationship with somebody who people just don't respect. They think they're sleazy. They think they're, you know, they just think very low of that person. They're a liar. They're a cheat. They're whatever. And then you think, well, I'm going to, you know, they've befriended me. They've got a lot of connections. Maybe they can make me a ton of money. They brought me this fantastic deal. There's a perfect example. They brought me this fantastic deal. I could buy this thing for, you know, $500,000 and it's worth $2 million. And all I got to do is just a little bit. And they brought me this deal and they're going to help finance it. They're going to be involved in it. It's great. I'm just going to do one deal with this person. I got news for you. Your reputation is at stake the second you decide you're going to do that deal. I would pass on a $1 or $2 million profit, hands down, than to do a deal with the wrong person. So we were talking before the show of the mindset of abundance. I've got that mindset of abundance where I don't need to do a deal with a crook. I don't need to do a deal with a person like that because there's more deals out there. And they're just, I don't care if I think I can make $1 million because guess what? Likely you're not going to make $1 million. Everybody's going to get hurt in the end. And your reputation is going to go down right alongside their reputation. They don't care. They already have the bad reputation. So,
well, you know, that kind of touches on knowing and having core values, such as integrity, honesty. And, you know, setting those things up ahead of time so that when you are seeing who you could partner with, you know, do their core values align with yours?
Yeah.
So again, if they already have a reputation where, you know, they're only looking out for themselves, they don't care about the little guy, they're willing to cut corners, they're not going to pull all the permits, you know, these different types of things, it's going to cause you to, you know, maybe switch out your own core values and make exceptions just for the money, you know. And then it's like you said, it's going to drag you down with them. So
and I think a lot of people think, well, that those are unfair reputations. Well, trust me, they likely got those reputations for a reason. And so don't just think that they're unfair reputations. They probably got those reputations for a reason. Just be careful around those types of people. So,
yeah. And just like the internet can boost your good reputation, it can also boost your bad reputation. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, the last thing I want to say before you can, you know, before you jump in and with anything else is just make sure you put yourself out there as we've talked about. Make sure you're getting yourself out there. Make sure you're building relationships and do it right, obviously, and ethically, but always continue to grow and to build and add value to other people. I think that's another big thing we maybe didn't mention is make sure you're adding value to other people along the way. If you're not adding value, you're not really doing your job. One of my favorite books on this entire topic is Never Eat Alone by Keith Ferrazzi. And I'm I'm hoping to have him on the show actually in the next few months. I've been in talks with his assistant. And he just, he gives a ton of great real life examples and just tactics on, you know, how to network and, networking in a different sense, you know, networking, the networking term I think is kind of broken. We think of networking as this annoying little thing we have to go do. That's not really what networking should be. So, he really breaks it down and talks a lot about, you know, the right way to do it. So Never Eat Alone by Keith Ferrazzi is a great book as well.
It's great.
John, I want you to, before we jumped on this call, you had some, you know, some really good thoughts. And I want you to, these are your thoughts, so I don't want to take them from you. So can you talk to the audience about, and to me about what you were talking about?
Yeah. So just continuing with the scenario that we've been focusing on with this apartment series. So likely we're talking to somebody who hasn't quite done their first deal. And so now they're getting excited about buying an apartment building, you know, pulling together private lenders to do it. And they want to, you know, and now with this today's topic, we're talking about meeting those investors.
Yeah.
So the question I want to explore here is how do you attract private money lenders to your opportunity, your dream, when it hasn't been fulfilled yet? You know, I think it's a lot easier if you've already had experience, if you've got a track record, you know, you've done some deals, then you can show, hey, look what I've done. And then just by sharing what you've done, you're going to automatically attract people that are interested in that. But if you haven't done it yet, that's where the kind of catch 22 comes in. Because the other aspect of it that is, it's really difficult to pursue a deal if you don't have the financial backing of it. You know, which seller is going to take you serious when you're not pre-approved for a loan because you don't qualify and you don't have all the cash in the bank? So these are the two, you know, the catch 22, you need both of these to proceed. You need the deal and you need the investors. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, commercially, you usually don't need a pre-approval. But here's my thought. Go back to episode one of this. I can't remember the exact episode number but go back to the apartment investing series first one that we did. And the topic was getting started. So go back to that and read it or listen to it again. You're right. It's hard to get started. And it's hard to like go out and network and put yourself out as this expert. You don't want to look stupid, right? From the start, you don't want to look like this, you know, kid that doesn't know what they're doing. So you try to, you know, wait almost too long a lot of times. So again, go back and re-listen to that, but I'll kind of go through some of the stuff that we talked about. It's partnering. I mean, you don't have to partner with these, you know, multimillionaire investors. Maybe that's not the way to go right away. Maybe you partner with somebody else that doesn't have much experience, or maybe you partner with somebody that does have experience that's willing to partner with you that you've built a relationship with. But either way, you're partnering with somebody, and maybe you're buying instead of a 100-unit building that you dream to buy, maybe you're buying a 10-unit building or a 20-unit building, whatever you can bite off. Okay, so that's your first. Now you've got in. Now you partner with somebody. Now you bought that quote-unquote first deal, 20 units, whatever it is. Now you've gained your first set of experience. Now you can start talking a little bit more openly about it and feel better. Okay. The other thing is to help raise money for syndication. Right. So if you know wealthy people, you can't really say, hey, I've got all this knowledge about apartment buildings, but maybe you know wealthy people, and you know people that do apartment buildings that are successful at it. Okay, so you can kind of marry the two together. Now, you can't necessarily get paid to do that without a broker's license, but potentially you could partner with the apartment person, and you can't just be their money raiser. You've got to do other things, but potentially you can work on an agreement with them on how you can strategically partner and yet be part of that deal. So there's another thing. Of course, if you've got your own money, you can always invest your own money into a syndication, or you can partner with somebody and be a part of their deal, also doing some other things. You know, you can be a bird dog, right? And you could, so you can find apartment deals. You're analyzing these deals. And then you're wholesaling them essentially to other people. And you're gaining a ton of experience by doing that. So you're getting really good at finding deals, and you're getting really good at analyzing deals, and you're getting really good at how these other people are putting these deals together, because you're part of that whole thing. And so you're seeing that whole process, that acquisition process from start to finish over and over. So you're getting really good at that. And then the other, you know, the other ways, John, are just starting small, becoming a property manager, becoming a real estate agent, appraiser, inspector, whatever you're good at, you can become, and just get involved. So honestly, is there some holdback? For sure. But there's ways to get involved and get started and get yourself educated. The more educated you get through books, through podcasts, and through doing, the better off you're going to be. And the quicker you're going to be able to get that network built. And now with all that said, don't wait to get started. Don't wait to build your network. Don't wait to find a deal. Go through that whole process and do it all, in my mind. So.
Yeah, those are definitely some great pointers, you know. And just to emphasize one of those, that education piece, the more you know, the more you feel empowered to pursue properties.
Yeah.
Not that you should wait until you know everything, because you're not going to ever know everything. But at the same time, you know, the more you know, the more empowered you'll feel, the more confident you'll feel. And then going back to something else I said earlier about...
John, real quick about that point. I've been doing this for 10 years. I know nothing. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
Then going back to what I said about going into an event and telling yourself that you're doing well, you're having a good day, can also go into that event saying that instead of, oh, I've got this dream of someday owning an apartment building, you can set, you know, and going back again to setting your business plan, and that business plan has certain steps in order to reach that goal. And when you figured out those certain steps, then you go to that networking event. It's not just this dream. It's not just this what if scenario. It's that this is what I'm going to do. You can say that with confidence because you've already thought through how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's just some thoughts that I had on it. So.
Yeah. And you're never, well, maybe not never, because there's always somebody, but you're never going to be the person that has the most amount of experience, the most amount of, you know, apartment units, have raised the most amount of money. You're never, we're very rarely going to be that person. So just understand that there's other people that are going to be in the room that have way more experience than you. There's going to be other people that have less than you. And you have to know that. I mean, I've done plenty in my career, but I've done nothing compared to a lot of people. So it really depends on who you're talking to. I've either just began or I'm leaps and bounds ahead. And it really depends on who you're talking to and who you're in the room with. And you just got to understand that you've got value to add to everybody. And so, yeah. So get out there and start networking.
Yep. There you go. People. Yep.
So, And by the way, meeting people is only going to help your education too.
Yeah.
So you can't do an apartment deal and partner with somebody who has experience without meeting them first. Right. So, yeah. So you got to get out there. Okay. Well, I think that's good. Actually one other thing I wanted to mention, and this is just something that I get a decent amount of. I get people that reach out to me and say, hey, you know, whatever, I'd love to learn from you. Can we have a phone call or something like that? But people will send me an email. Maybe they want to meet with me. Maybe they want to have a phone conversation with me, but they have very little content sometimes. Sometimes they ramble along about themselves, but they don't try to add value to me. So if you're going to reach out to somebody, me or anybody, that you want to get information from or learn from, you've got to figure out how you can add value to them. And so figure out what you're good at and say, hey, I can do this, this, this. Don't send me, and the other thing is, don't send me an email that takes me a half an hour to read because I'm not going to read it. Send me an email that's just short and sweet and to the point, but try to add value to those people that they're trying to communicate with. If you can't add value to them, if you're just saying, hey, I'd love to sit down and have coffee with you, you know, I like people and I want to meet as many people as I can, but not everybody has time to meet everybody that wants to have coffee with them. So if you can't add value to them, or I should say, make sure you add value to them. Yeah. So anyway, I think that's it. You got anything else to add?
No, I think that's good for today. So
awesome.
People, if you have something more to add to this conversation, we'd love to have you comment either on the YouTube episode or the Facebook group, Facebook page, I should say. So we'd love to have your rating and review. We'd love to have you share this with other people. And, you know, maybe this can be the value you add to somebody else's life and that can start a conversation for you. So keep us in mind and share us out there. So.
Yeah, go on to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating review, and like John said, man, share this out. Make that difference. So, appreciate everybody listening, and make every day Saturday.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity and properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today.